This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
Spice up your taste buds this season with the new Jalapeno Rodeo Burger at Burger King Nassau. Each bite of the Jalapeno Rodeo features a classic flame-grilled beef patty, pepper jack cheese, crunchy fried onions, and a spicy jalapeno kick, topped with barbecue and chipotle sauce served on a soft potato bun. The Jalapeno Rodeo Burger is even tastier in a combo with our new half-seas, half onion rings, and half french fries with a drink. Or cool it down with the new and delicious creamy floats collection at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
The Foundation with Heart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, Grand Bahama News, Nassau Cruise Port, Ross Electric Motors, Scotiabank, and Wendy's.
Long lay the world in sin and error pining, filly or bed, and the soul fed.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this absolutely gorgeous Thursday afternoon, the last Thursday of 2023. As we continue to be able to celebrate and go through sort of the assessment of what it is this year, this is a very solemn time. Because this Thursday also has the obituary. I want to be decent with you as we continue to be able to do these things. Stepping into the new year in preparation to do that, we do so with sobriety. Talk to me. And in doing that, we touched the newspapers today with your sort of excitement and exuberance to be able to see the Saxon sweep in every major Junkanoo category. There is the obituary. Talk to me. Ladies and gentlemen, our brothers and sisters have passed away. We always say a soft prayer and sort of a, you know, just a little silence within ourselves for our brothers and sisters who've passed away. And if you're one of these persons who are dealing with this sort of a transition that's happening, I just want to be able to say to you, go down to my good, decent friends over at Butler's Funeral Homes and Crematorium for this transition. I mean, this could be a very difficult time for a great deal of people. Families of first Christmas that you spent without your mother, without your mother, without your father, without your loved one. And so we know that this is a hard time, but it's very important of these persons and who they are. I always tell you to reach out to my good, decent people over at Butler's Funeral Homes and Crematorium on Ernest and York Street. They can be able to assist you if you're dealing with that at this time. Very difficult to have this conversation, but it's extremely important that we talk like this as we move forward with purpose. Also, I want to be able to shout out to my good, decent people. It's Thursday, so you can go down there at Milo B. Butler & Son. They got everything taken care of for you. Make sure you reach out to them, Milo B. Butler & Son. They're on Blue Hill Road. When you hit it north on Blue Hill Road, right there on the eastern side, on the right-hand side, you can be able to get them. They got everything there for you stacked up. I don't know if they have any more Christmas trees. I don't know whether or not you're going to be putting Christmas trees in your house after Christmas. This is a wild thing. But to all those persons, if you want to be able to go down there and still get your packages, Christmas is coming. I'm sorry, New Year's is coming. You still want to be able to do that sauce. Y'all let's do the sauce. Do y'all do the kind of sauce? The watch night sauce, right? For God's sake, please. If y'all doing the sauce, There's a way that you know that this sounds good. If the water clean, then you can eat it. If this water, if you boil a chicken and throw the onion and thing in it, the same time, we can't eat this. You're trying to kill all us. Y'all can't cook. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you go down there and get your chicken. All that stuff. You got chicken wings. You got chicken quarters. You got legs, so forth and so on. You can be able to get that. Ham, turkey, the whole nine. If you want to do rib sauce, whatever you're doing for your watch night service, if you're responsible, if you're in a women's group or in a men's group and you're supposed to be able to bring that there and you ain't know where you can get affordable wings and things from, make sure you go down to Milo B. Butler and Sons at the Milo Butler Mart. They got everything there for you. Just ask for my good, decent friend, Alan Butler. He'd be more than happy to assist you in those areas and carry your sauce. Boil the water for it. Scald the thing, right? Boil it down and then talk to me. I got to do a little tutorial for you. And throw that off, right? And then hit it again. Bam. And you hit it again. You put your old spice and things, and that's how you do it. Make it nice. And then you set it up straight. Talk to me. Yeah. I could put it together, you know. It's going to be nice. It's going to be one thing I don't do. First time my wife actually got there with me, she put celery in the sauce. I said, baby, doll, I can't eat this. This is 20-something years ago. She made me some sauce. I said, baby doll, I can't eat this. You put celery in this? I don't eat. But celery is good. We always use celery. I said, okay, listen, you live with me now. Praise God. You live with me now. I don't eat celery. Amen? I don't want that. I don't like it in my sauce. But guys, go down there and check that thing out and take care of that. In any event, make sure you're good in those areas. And also make sure you reach out to my good, decent friends over at AFS, Insurance Agents and Brokers. If you go down there, you can see me there tomorrow morning. God spare life. I have to be able to take care of these things before the last nail knock. Get yourself in taken care of as it relates to your insurance. If you're a jitney driver or a bus driver, taxi driver, and you need to be able to get your vehicle taken care of, but you may not necessarily have all the funds up front. You need to be able to get that in comprehensive or whatever the case may be. You can reach out to them and they do in-house financing. Talk to me. Good and decent people. They get you taken care of down there. Reach out to them. 3411-AFS. 3411-AFS. AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. Number 407 Blue Hill Road South. Right there east of the Golden Gate Shopping Center. They'd be more than happy to assist you in those areas. Guys, it is an absolutely gorgeous day. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. Saxon Sweep. My God. Saxon Sweep. Group wins every major category. And the clouds of depression, as boys continue to be able to scream out to God and says, why, Lord, why? Why? You need to stop. Calm down. You still got New Year's Day and you got next year. So get yourself together in those particular areas and do what you got to do and take good care of those things as you continue to be able to move forward in those areas. It is a wonderful day. Guys, we're going to be able to finish up these things. I'm looking for my good, decent friend, Garth Roseborough. He's supposed to be here with me today. I don't know if he's showing up. He didn't call. He didn't say anything. So we're going to see exactly whether or not he's actually coming in to be able to kind of finish up this conversation yesterday that we started to have about leadership in the country. I get a couple of requests. Well, Howard, for God's sake, you all don't talk but no politics, eh? I'm going to try. We're going to do our absolute best. And don't look at it. I don't want you to look at it as in the lens of politics. I think the politicians have this sort of, they carry the monopoly of this concept and idea of growth and development along the course of business in the country, but not necessarily that we're always talking about politics and politicians. We want to talk about leadership. We want to talk about how do we get ourselves into a space of growth and development and leadership and moving in the direction that we're supposed to move in. It's kind of difficult to do that without talking about the men and the women at the helm, right? It's difficult to do that. It's very difficult to kind of do that without talking about the men and the women at the helm, right? And also, Christmas came a little, well, I don't know. Is it kind of early or late? Well, it's a gift like this. You always just got to be able to kind of give thanks no matter where you are, right? And for all those persons who are celebrating, especially Kingsley Smith, Miles Roeder, in his particular capacity for social services and broadcasting. Let me read this thing properly. Hold on. Let me open it up. The Guardian News just put the information out. I don't know if it's in the papers. Let's swing through the papers and see if we saw that. It's definitely in the It's definitely in here. Let's be able to pull that up. Nassau Guardian. Just check us out, guys. Nassau Guardian. You can be able to pull up the information and see exactly what's what. The official Nassau Guardian Limited.com. You can be able to pull that information up and see exactly what's what. You can see Miles the Rotor's smiling face in here. That's the first thing that you're going to see on the paper. And it is breaking news. Just now, we got this information in, and we want to be able to tell you all about it. Prime Minister makes cabinet changes. Prime Minister Philip Davis has advised the cabinet office that the following changes will be made in the appointments of the cabinet of the Bahamas effective January 2nd, 2024. Miles LaRota, Member of Parliament for Pinewood, is promoted to the office of Minister of Social Services, Information and Broadcasting. His appointment comes 3 months after the sudden death of Obadiah Wolchcombe, who served in that role and capacity. Leon Lundy, MP for Central and South Andrews, is promoted to Minister of State in the office of the Prime Minister. And Kingsley Smith, the promise that the Prime Minister has made, Kingsley Smith has been appointed to Parliamentary Secretary in the Ministry of Grand Bahama. Smith was elected in a by-election November 22nd as a new MP for West Grand Bahama and Bimini, filling the seat left vacant by Wolchcombe's death. These are the first cabinet changes since cabinet reshuffle in early September. Ladies and gentlemen, congratulations to Miles LaRota in his particular capacity as a substantive minister in that area for social services, information and broadcasting. Congratulations to Leon Lundy in his particular capacity, promoted in the office of the Prime Minister and being able to do that as Minister of State, and also Kingsley Smith, who's PALSEC for the Ministry of Grand Bahama. Congratulations, guys. I hope that you do, our expectation is that you do a good job. More specifically, and rather selfishly, but really a social necessity, Kingsley Smith. While it's selfish for me, because I'm from Grand Bahama, and being able to see whether or not it's thriving and things happening in those particular areas, I think it's a social responsibility and an obligation, both to your political party and to those who are observers. Because the PLP has made relentless commitments. Hundreds of millions of dollars of commitment to Grand Bahama. And something that Garth says yesterday, they got the 3-year itch. I feel like it's a 2-year itch. It's 2024. It's going to be 2 years itch. We're 2 years out, 2 years and some months. We've already felt that thing. So we expect some things to be able to happen in those areas. Congratulations to you guys for being able to do all that you're doing and making some things happen. We just pray that the Father continues to be able to bless you and give you a heart for people. Talk to me. Miles LaRota, in your particular capacity, I know that your cup is definitely, your plate is full, right? Because the need in this country is inexhaustible. It's insatiable. It is relentless. But it is. Your administration, in conjunction with the Bahamian people, needs to come up with a solution whilst we relentlessly try to figure out how we can solve Haiti's problems. Talk to me. We need to figure out how we can get all these poor people off the streets and begging every single day. Right? We're going to have to do that. Yesterday I saw two kids. I stopped at the ATM. You know, these two plump children, right? They look like two plump children. I don't want to tell you the children's last name. They tell me all the information, right? I'm standing down there, down by Roka. What's it? Blue Marlin. They name it Blue Marlin now. Going down to the ATM to get something, right? And the two plump children, they look like Hansel and Gretel if they had eaten the entire house. These children bigger than my children. They my size, right? And they standing out there, and they looking through the car. Because, you know, I ain't got no tents in the car. So they're looking at me, and I'm looking at them. And they're looking at me, and I'm looking at them. And I say to my wife, I say, you think these children are big when they get in this car? And they're looking at me. And as I shuffle to get out of the car, the little boy make a couple steps towards the car. Then he yell at me through the window. So I look at my wife and say on the corner of my mouth, I say, this little boy talking to me. So I say, this little boy, Cap, you talking to me. So he's looking at me. Eyes dead lock on me. He only see me. See, that's the disadvantage of being big. I just want to be very clear with you. You all just think big people got money all the time. Oh my God, you need to stop it. Well, you can feed yourself, sir. You got to have something in your pocket. Okay, I'm not going to fight you, right? So the fella looking at me. Young fella, plump. Listen to me. The little boy round, his face round, his belly round. I say, how old are you? The little boy say, I'm 13 years old. I get out the car. Go up there. Hey, sir, how you doing? Because I skipped the story. Let me fix it for you. I jump out the car. And I walk towards the ATM. I try my hardest to act like I didn't see him, right? So I walk towards the ATM, right? And he says, hi, sir, how you doing? So I said, I'm good. How you doing, right? So he said, I'm fine, sir, right? Walk in to the ATM, come back out. And he says, hi, how you doing, sir? So I said, I'm fine, right? So he says to me, he says, sir, can you give me a little sponsor? Well, me and my sister, we eat all day. I said, you eat all day? I said, me and you are the same size. I said, I know you ain't hungry. Stop lying. Right? So he said, well, you know. I said, who sent you out here? He said, my mommy sent me out here. I said, this is wild. How old are you? She's 13 years old. He gave me his last name. I'm not going to say his last name. So I said, all right. But he's Bahamian Jurin, right? So I said, wow. I said, what are you doing asking me for money? So he shut down. Because I'm asking him now. I'm towering over him. He big, I big, but he's there now, you know, in this sort of position where he feel like he's shrinking. He's shamed now because I'm asking him questions about, if I had just given him this money and walked away, it would have been good. But I'm asking him questions. I said, why are you begging for money? He said, well, my mommy, I said, listen to me. Tell your mommy, don't you ever in your life send you out here again. You hear me? I said, why aren't you packing bags? Right? He said, I don't know. I said, let me explain something to you. Those packing boys right now, they buying up all the gold chains and big 50-cent piece. Because they make all kind of money, hundreds, some of them thousands of dollars with Christmas holiday. And you sitting here asking me for money, me and you the same size. We have created a generation of beggars. Can I say that? Is it okay to say that? We have created a generation of beggars in this country. It's our fault. It's society's fault. It's politicians' fault. It's political organizations' fault. My God. Can I say that? Is it okay to say that? Is it too much that we go quickly in this direction? Well, we're going to have to talk to this like this. Because from you putting these children's mind, in their parents' mind, in their grandparents' mind, that you can do all the heavy lifting, and you're going to be wiping. That's why they don't even, listen, one time ago, we were scared to cry in this country. Because crying don't help nothing. But when your motto came out that we are wiping every tear from every eye, my God, we might as well cry. Let the waterworks begin. Let's talk, ladies and gentlemen. Miles Rhoda, I know that you have your hands full. Full. There's a couple of things I want to talk about as it relates to this concept of how we lend a helping hand in our community. We started to talk about this concept yesterday about how relentlessly persons seek to be chief. We want a society full of chiefs, like Indian chiefs, right? Proverbial. But no one wants to be the laborers, the workers. We need to figure out a way that we could become workers and apply ourselves to a true sense of growth and development without being able to, you know, carve this section out for ourselves. There are so many people giving. There are so many people that are doing. I just see Candy, shout out to Candy Gibson from Foam, being able to do some stuff. I think she partnered with Feedback and do a drive. Shout out to Candy in her particular capacity for being able to do those things. I passed the other day, I saw Bishop Lawrence Rowe doing some stuff. I saw Bishop Hanchel doing some stuff. And I know a great deal of persons are doing their things. Also, we heard about what they were doing. We visited them up to in Fox Hill. There are so many people in this island alone that's giving. We need to be able to unify our efforts and be able to support those persons who are established and who's being able to do what they're doing. That's why I told you, when Kazi and I decided to be able to feed the kids, or we wanted to do something, we wanted to do something really big for them, but the finances didn't allow us to do that. So we did what we can, right? We wasn't not going to do it. We did it, right? So we fed these kids, did everything that we can do, showed up on the park, touched the kids' lives. And I wanted to be able to assist Fox Hill with their feeding on Christmas Day. But I got a call from Georgette Gardner, who's a part of the Fox Hill Festival Committee, and being able to assist in those areas, her and Warren Davis. And she hit me up and she indicated that, well, they're not going to be doing anything this Christmas anymore as a result of volunteering labor and so forth and so on. So I didn't fight them. I said, okay, no problem, right? But that's what I'm talking about. You need to find out places that you can be able to give. And I think we need to be able to shift the tradition from the oohs and ahs around the Christmas tree all day. Let's just be very clear, all day, right? The oohs and ahs around the Christmas tree all day. We need to shift that. We need to shift that. It needs to be oohs and ahs for a time period, and then wrap up take up your dirt off the floor, and let's. I brought my daughter back from Grand Bahama. She out there relaxing, and sleeping. I said, come, let's come. We got things to do. And so that's what we want to be able to do. And I think that that should be something that all of us actually consider. I can't tell you what to do. I'm not fighting you. But we need to consider how we can be able to give back. It's important that we do that. We have to eradicate this poverty in our country. It's too easy for us to just casually say, well, you know, the Bible said the poor will always be amongst us. Well, that was globally. That was not locally. That was an application for a global concept. There are enough poor people in Mexico and in India and elsewhere around the world that we do not have to contribute to that. And if we have these persons that are below the poverty line in our country, we can help that. We have to figure out a way to do this. And I want you guys to contribute towards that. And maybe we talk to Kazi about this in his think tank to be able to contribute to a concept and an idea where it doesn't have to come from the government. We come up with a concept. We pitch this concept to the government to be able to assist quadrants of our communities. Chop it up. Chop the entire island up into 6 or 8 different quadrants. Have a general for that quadrant. And then the government partner, public-private partnership with that particular quadrant to be able to get to an objective. We got to figure this thing out. Just like how you have your community watch, right? Just like how you have your community programs, there needs to be a quadrant watch. You need to break up your places and divisions to touch these people. There needs to be a way that we can identify how many poor people in this area. We got to get boots on the ground and start to touch these doors and find out how we can help people. This just giving out money and giving out food, that don't even make sense. That's like just throwing money in a bucket with a hole. That don't make sense. We identify some of the infractions of what's happening, why these people are living like this in this condition, why you continue to be able to be in here, why are you poor? Well, I never finished school. All right, let's go. Let's do adult learning classes. We have to rectify the issue from the root. Social services activity should not just be confined to distribution. It should be actually... You should wrap in this concept. This is just me. This is just Howard. You should wrap under this concept to identify the root causes of why persons are living in these issues in the conditions that they are. You have to take an assessment. There is enough technology accessible to you right now in this country, right now, that you can make the proper assessment. Now, I ain't talking about no giving out no cards. I'm talking about why you are living like this and rectify this issue. We can do it. I believe we can do it. Give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
What's happening, Howard?
All is well.
Why did you turn my call?
You called me?
Many times over the holiday.
Forgive me, my brother.
trying to have a talk with you.
Forgive me. I couldn't hear. Anyway, my wife is, you know, praise God.
No. I've been wife too.
Praise God. I'm not going to fight you. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, you old fellas always got this game.
You anyway, need to stop it. Go ahead.
Anyway, Mom, there's a guy you need to read. His name is Thomas Sowell.
Thomas.
S-O-W-E-L-L. Okay? He has a series of articles in a book called The Thomas Sowell Reader. And there is a definition of being poor that I find very amazing. He says the average poor person in America is overweight and has the newest flat screen TV. The average poor person in America is overweight and has a flat screen TV.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, I don't know if that struck a theme with you as it did with me, but you know, when I see persons in this country who we call poor, right? These are the same persons who you're going to spot inside Walmart in Thanksgiving. They have all the flights booked out and they are not really poor. Okay? We have a demographic, a political demographic that plays the poverty game, and the politicians play along with them. Now, it's going to be up to a generation to, like, stop the madness,
mm-hmm.
make the sacrifices that enable them to build a foundation from which they can build from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the average Haitian who comes into this country, you see him on the street,
mm-hmm.
he don't look poor. Homeboy waking. He is doing stuff. We got to get back to that work ethic we had before 1967.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, we were doing stuff, man. You know, we still doing stuff. You know, but it ain't us.
But that's why I said these two children, these plump, these children was fat. I might as well just shoot straight with you. These two little children, they were Bahamians. I've never seen no Haitians do this.
Hey, I know.
I'm just going to be very clear.
I know mothers in particular who send their kids into the mall with a quarter.
You come back home with this.
And they can't come home.
My God.
Unless. You know, we are raising a generation of persons who are going to be susceptible to all kind of nonsense. You know, and when them predators come into this country and they spot this, they're going to take advantage of that, you know.
My God.
Yeah. Anyway, buddy.
I appreciate your telephone call, man. Thank you so much.
And you.
Enjoy your holiday season and Happy New Year to you and your family.
Anyway, and call me.
Praise God. I will call you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be able to take a break, but I got to be able to touch this before I do that. The average poor person in America is overweight and has a flat screen TV.
Mm.
This is heavy stuff. This is heavy stuff. And joining me in the studio is none other than Garth Roseborough. I just want to touch this just before I get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
This is not superficial. It's deeper than that. Capitalism has caused this. The greed, the insatiable desire of the rich man to have more and more and more, they feed us anything. They give us the condition. They own these same people who own the food, they own the media. So they condition you to tell you that these things are right and you ingest it relentlessly and become a slave to the sugar wrapped in these meals. And then they make it affordable for you to get little or nothing. Just to be able to give you the perception of an existence that's a facade. Let's talk about these things, guys. I'm going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
To
was the heights of the season. Scotiabank wanted to give the people a lift for mom, dad, and kids. Apply for a Scotiaplan loan and unwrap the perfect Christmas gift. Fix your home, buy new appliances, or go on vacation. Scotiabank is giving holiday cheer with an all-expense-paid weekend trip for two to Miami for 3 days and two nights. When you apply for a Scotiaplan loan from now until December 31st, enjoy low interest rates and no payments for up to 2 months. Unwrap the perfect Christmas with Scotiabank.
Let me ask you a few questions. What's your name?
Pam.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Is your money safe?
It's under my bed, I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why?
Unless your money is in a bank or credit union that's a member of the Deposit Insurance Corporation, there's no guarantee it's safe.
Yeah, but what if something happens to the bank?
Your Bahamian dollar deposits are insured up to $50,000, so you'd still be ahead. Plus, your mattress might catch fire. Then what?
Man, those banks and credit unions are looking good right about now.
Visit the DIC's website at www.dic.bs. Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
Marco's is bringing you a pizza experience like never before. Introducing our new Pizzoli baked with house-made dough. Stuffed with three fresh cheeses and premium toppings. Spiced with irresistible garlic sauce and Romeshan seasoning for only $8.95. Choose from four incredible toppings. Buffalo chicken, pepperoni, chicken bacon ranch, and pepperoni and sausage. Order now at marcospizzabahamas.com. Every store, every day. Because this is not just pizza, it's the Italian way.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company on this overcast Thursday afternoon, live and in full effect in the city of Nassau, Bahamas here, being able to do this. Nassau Guardian being able to chop these things down the foundation. I'm so grateful to be with you. This is going to be our last broadcast for the year. All right? And I'll do my best to kind of be able to chalk it up as it relates to what was happening for the entire year. But not so much to be able to give you a blow-by-blow of what was happening, but the spirit that exists externally needs to be transformed to move towards unity for growth and development. And that's how I want to have this conversation, right? The lines are open if you want to be able to do that. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family of violence, 242-300, 5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. Let me just say hey to Garth, and then we can be able to get your telephone calls. Garth, say good afternoon to the Bahamian people out there.
Yeah, I want to say a good afternoon. It's raining outside, Howard. Yeah. But you know, in the Bahamas, we say the sun is always shining, and amazingly, it's raining after Junkanoo, so maybe God is still with us, still blessing the Bahamas, and I'm sure the farmers are happy. And for those people who have been treated very well for Christmas, got those nice gifts like Howard's wife, tonight is just one of those nights.
Yeah, Howard's wife gets straight. Howard's wife gets straight.
Yeah, she's straight.
Yeah, she's straight.
That means tonight on a rainy night, you're straight.
Oh, really?
Hallelujah.
Sir.
Praise the Lord.
How much time you can give me one gift? Talk to me. Let's just be very clear.
Hey, Santa Claus gets
a
gift.
I need socks and a necktie. This is why my father them used to be excited for the socks and necktie. Because you know? This gift, we're tired of this, okay? You need to stop, right?
You want something new.
Give me socks and a necktie. My God, it's a good looking thing.
You know, Howard, I'm just thankful to you this year for continuously inviting me. And, you know, the people who have been listening to your show have been extremely kind to me in the public. And so I thank you for your confidence. And just appreciate that while we're here, that we are very serious in our conversations, but Howard and I are also accustomed to dropping a little jest here and there, a little soft moment here and there, because it lightens the mood. And so I apologize to anyone who feels as if everything we've said is pure gold, but there are times that we do not fully explain to you that we're having a great time here in your company, and I'm hoping that you'll continue to call in, make your contribution, and listen, man, let's just have a great time for 2024 with Howard Grant.
Yeah, absolutely, my brother. Thank you so much. I want to be able to take the telephone call. Call on the line with us live. We're talking accountability, and I want to kind of wrap that up in technology, through the lens of social service. So that's really what we was on. I think it's important that we do that and kind of touch these things. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my brother.
Brother Howard, and good afternoon, God. Howard, it's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
And you should be able to look at that. I just want to take this time to, you know, wish you all a prosperous new year. I trust that God will continue to protect all of us as you make us, we make our plan into the future. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Mm-hmm. And we just have to continue to put our trust in Him.
Yes.
And, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with you in your dialogue when you mentioned the what should be done in regards to the social services, because I could remember at one point in time when the PLP was in government, I think Algernon Allen, they were co-chairs of the Urban Renewal Project. Mm-hmm. And there was an attempt to so-called to conduct a census, especially in these so-called underprivileged areas, where they were supposed to go into every household, identify all of the individuals who were not working, and to try to get them or those persons who were not working in these households, and to find out what really the needs were, so you can identify exactly what, you know, how to spend your money. Because like you said, all we're doing is throwing good money after bad. We're giving away millions of dollars a year in social security benefits. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, people are still so-called begging. Mm-hmm. You know, when you mentioned, I think, I can't remember, what was the name of the guy who was on with you, who with the feeding thing? Jacozzi or
whatever. No, his name is Cosimo Ellis.
Cosimo.
Yeah.
He mentioned that there was a family of 19.
That blew my mind.
In one household, Howard? Howard, that's the height of nastiness and laziness. Because my
that blew my
19
mind.
Of y'all can't, y'all, five of y'all can't get up there and go find a minimum wage job. 10 of y'all can't get up there and go find out, then find something to do to better yourself. I think sometimes, you know, we people have become so dependent. We instead of giving them like a hand up, we keep giving them hand out.
That's it.
And they keep holding out their hands.
But that's our fault.
Yeah.
That's our fault. That's our fault.
That's our fault.
You talk to me.
As I mentioned to Mr. Lang, the reason why somebody said that there's so much poverty in the U.S. today, because at one point in time they decided they, like the PLP, wanted to hear from every eye and to eradicate poverty. And so they started all of these social security handouts, especially to black people. And so you could go and have a child, and Uncle Sam would pay you. And so what would women would do? They go have these bunch of children, and they wait on social security, and they wouldn't get off their hip and go work.
This heavy what you're saying.
And so we are almost on that same path.
This heavy what you're saying.
The government is responsible for something, but you have to take responsibility for your own situation. You know, you have to have a desire. The Bible says if somebody desires something, they will go after it. We can't keep spoons feeding people. We have to make people that let them to know that you have a purpose. You gotta produce, man. You know,
got to produce.
So, you know, we need to do something.
I appreciate
and
you.
I thank you for your time. I trust
that
you would have a great day and a great year. By the help of God.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you so very kindly. Happy New Year to you and your family. And I pray all the best for you and your family going forward, 2024 and beyond. But it's heavy what you're saying, though. I won't do this. I won't touch this for 2 seconds. Because sometimes I think we kind of till the topsoil, but don't understand that to be able to get to the nutrients and to the depth of this conversation, we got to go a little bit deeper. Talk to me. Just we tilling the topsoil. I ain't going to do nothing much. The topsoil is what everyone could see. It looks dehydrated, but the truth of the matter is that what's rich, the depth of poverty that exists in the underbelly of this is deeper. Let's get deep. In the United States of America, this was by design. My God, I get preachy quickly. I need to stop. This is by design. All the government cheese and all the hard Kool-Aid and the relentless sugar and the corn and all these things and the diabetes, all these things. Listen to me. Go watch The Killer Flower Moon right now. That's the Leonardo DiCaprio something. It's Flower Moon something kill. Watch that. Watch that. Watch that. And then remember what happened on Black Wall Street. This was by design that simultaneously happened with the CIA and being able to, the allegations that's relentlessly coming out about crack being dropped and all. This was by design. This is by design. My God. God's supposed to say, I'm supposed to be talking about this on the last day of the year for the show. But this is deep. And so when you have these conversations about people who are lazy, these are the same people who was picking 300 pounds of cotton. Think about this. How can you be lazy, 14 years old, you weigh 98 pounds, but the cotton on your back weigh 250? How? How? You even don't even feel the prickle in your hand no more because all you know is pick, go, pick, go, pick, pick. You have an object. These are the same people. How you get lazy? And how you get overweight? This is by design.
Well, Howard, you know, the world is filled with different people, different types of people, different mentalities, different situations. I do not give excuse for laziness, and there is a generation out there who you can offer them employment, but by 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, they want to knock off and tell you they want a full day's pay. You know, they are extremely irate. But there are other people, I'm sure, who are suffering from depression. This is something that we as a society, we run from. I don't think we have sufficient psychiatrists or psychologists to deal with the onslaught of imbalanced individuals and dysfunctional individuals that we have in our country. But definitely more has to be done in the Commonwealth. The number of the population is small enough for us to be able to address the issue.
That's it. You know what this could be? When we saw Wendy's on Carmichael Road, the very first Wendy's, the very first double drive-through in the world. I don't know if you knew that. In the Western world, this is the very first. They strategically put it in this position. And if you remember those two ropes that was in the road that identify the trees, y'all have to pay attention to your environment. Pay attention to your environment. Mm-hmm. There was two electronic ropes in the road, right? Just like two cords in the road that identify the traffic going and coming, going and coming. They strategically put it in this particular location and they was able to beta test whether or not this was good. Listen to me. This is heavy. This is heavy.
This is
the
deep.
Telephones that you use right now, this was being beta tested during a particular time and they captured your data. They were supposed to release it after 3 years. You'll remember these stories. Why can't we beta test these concepts? There's only 400,000 of us. Why can't we beta test the concept to eradicate poverty and strategically approach this using technology and accountability to eradicate this entirely? Boom. We could do this. And guess what? We could sell it to the world. It's easy. It ain't hard. This is not rocket science. All this is giving people opportunity as soon as people could be able to taste something and they feel themselves being productive again. They feel themselves getting their sea legs. They say, all right, I got it now. And then you identify all these children who went off to school to be psychologists. They ain't doing nothing with their degree right now. You get you capture them and you capture the data and information. You properly put that down and you execute accordingly how this could be able to do. Then you sell it to the world. You sell it to the world. You go to Africa, this is how we could eradicate this.
And you think the world wants to purchase this particular plan that you have?
The only people who don't want to purchase this is the capitalists.
And the whole world is built on capitalism.
No, not the entire world. The whole world has been subject to it.
Well, you want to be technical with me today?
Watch me. We've been subject to it. When they eradicated Saddam Hussein, there was a course that propaganda was being spread locally and that was being spread into it, into their society. So internally they was doing it and externally it was coming out. These people, they're brainwashed. So, we could fix these things.
So we all are aware of Gaddafi, aren't we?
Of course.
And we know what Gaddafi was able to accomplish.
Of course.
So why don't we follow what Gaddafi did, the Gaddafi model?
Well, there's pros and cons to all of these things.
Oh.
And the con is that you still have to live. You have to be ye in the world, but not necessarily of the world.
You guys get preaching. No, you're trying to get.
I get preaching with you.
I wish these people could call in today and whip you today. I'm going to sit here and let them call in and whip you. You know,
we only got 2 minutes before we got to go to news. We only got a couple minutes before we got to go to news, right?
Do not let Howard get away.
No, we got to talk about these things.
Do not let Howard get away with
this. I believe in technology, and I believe in accountability. And I believe that I wasn't born anywhere else. My issue is not to be concerned of how to fix Haiti's problem. I wasn't born in Haiti. My issue is not to be concerned of how to fix Turks and Caicos' problem. That's their issue. I was born in the Bahamas, and more specifically, I was born in Haiti, Maroc. Let me just be very clear about this. I believe that every one of us have a talent exist in us to be able to rectify the community that we was born to. That's what I believe. I believe that. I believe that we have an answer in the community to rectify the issues here. Mm-hmm. But if you keep throwing up your hand and saying, well, my God, that's it. It is what it is, then you can never get to that. You die with this talent that exists in you that tribute to the bowl of productivity. You die.
But Howard, you had
with
good,
this in you.
You had good mentorship. I hear you talk about your Grammy. I hear you talk about your mummy. These people don't have that same background. They don't have the people that inspire them to do great things. When I was in St. Augustine's College, and shout out to the class of 86, I remember when I first went to math with Benedict Dorsett, math teacher, short fella, smart as ever, but, you know, grumpy. And he started talking about Pythagoras theorem. And I'm like, what the hell that got to do with the Bahamas, old boy? 3.148. What is that?
That's math. That's a universal language, sir.
Yeah, but we ain't interested in that.
No, that's a universal language. See, Bahamian people have to get over this concept and idea of what's important and what's not important if you're going to be a part of a global community. Math is a universal language, first and foremost, because I always hear Bahamian people say, well, I am, but that ain't feeding me. I got no money from that. As soon as we could feed these people, they can realize that their purpose is beyond feeding them. They can realize that they have something, because people can't think when they're hungry.
How would people say A plus B equals 63? And you go like, how the hell that happened? And when did that happen? You see, you have a generation there who just simply confused, Howard.
We could fix this.
You can fix it?
We could fix this. I believe we could fix this. I believe with the minds that we have in our community, we could rectify these issues. Guys, got to take this quick commercial break, get to news, and be right back after this.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Towards the heights of the season, Scotiabank wanted to give the people a lift for mom, dad, and kids. Apply for a Scotiaplan loan and unwrap the perfect Christmas gift. Fix your home, buy new appliances, or go on vacation. Scotiabank is giving holiday cheer with an all-expense-paid weekend trip for two to Miami for 3 days and two nights. When you apply for a Scotiaplan loan from now until December 31st, enjoy low interest rates and no payments for up to 2 months. Unwrap the perfect Christmas with Scotiabank.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Who are we? The South. Who are we? The South.
the Saxons. Ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Saxons in your belly. I see somebody was doing a little, what the babies do? What the babies do when you go to the baby?
I never make no baby out of it.
Sir, what?
I ain't make no baby.
What?
Ain't no woman could.
You let it spill
no
on
baby.
The rock. The word of God say you kill, you die on the ground. You can't do that.
It ain't die on no ground.
My God, you gotta
die somewhere.
Let it incubate. You gotta let it incubate, my brother. 96.9 FM radio.
In your belly.
96.9 FM radio. The foundation here, being able to chop down these things. Just want to be able to touch this as quick as possible. We have been really talking about social services and the significant task that's going to be before Miles the Road, or more specifically. And I think sometimes my conversation is go over people's head, because all this is about being progressive and taking a step forward. That's it. This is easy. I guarantee you this could save the government millions of dollars. This concept and idea to eradicate poverty locally, if you make this a mission, if you make it a mission and you are serious about being able to eradicate this, and you look from door to door to identify the true needs of people, and you say, okay, you got 19 people living in this house, this is what we can do for y'all, boom, boom, boom. In 6 months, our expectation is for you to be able to be here. We can educate you, we can put you to school, and we can put you through a particular process to be able to assist you like this. You see, you got to want it. How would people got to want it? No. You will not get assistance from the government beyond this particular juncture if you don't comply in these areas. That's it. You will not get assistance from the government until and unless you comply. And this is our expectations for compliance. This is what you do. Boom, boom, boom. And you put it on the table. If you want it, you can go get it. Amen. So we can talk about those things. I'm talking about technology and accountability. Because this ain't hard. This easy. You just do it on your campaign every single day. Every time you go and campaign, those persons who know about campaigning, when you put boots on the ground, you know how much people in this house, how much job in this house, how long they've been in this house, if they ain't from this constituency, you willing to contest if you see their cousin show up who used to live with them. Because that's how intimately involved you are with this. This is what we need to do to eradicate this. And that could be done in every subsector and division and ministry in the country. This could be done, the same concept could be applied to immigration. Same concept. All you got to do is scour it, just like you're looking for a lost child. You divide it up into the woods. You say, this quadrant do this, this team do this, this team do this. You eradicate it. You take the documentation. We've done this. We've done that. You come back. Listen, this ain't hard work. This work, but it ain't hard. We can do this together. Now, somebody just text me and say, Howard, you got to watch yourself. I can read it for you.
Listening.
I can read it for you. These people tell me, how would you get to watch yourself or how you be able to talk about these things, because this was by design.
Well, you used a very strong word, the word we. If you ever listened to the pastor and you listened to the politician, this happens to be one of their favorite words, we. I heard you speak about we, what we can do, the power of we. And truth be told, we all go to church on Saturday, the Sabbath, and go to church on Sunday for celebrations. And even though we are all there, and we all have our Bibles, and we all have our hymnals, and we all pray, and we all sing, and we all rejoice and be exceedingly glad together, only one person takes the offering plate home, eh?
The offering plate don't go to nobody else.
Oh, where do they go?
Offering plate stay right in the church.
Oh, yeah?
Nah, the money may go someplace else.
I talk about the money. Oh, okay, now we talking. The money. Now, the politician says...
They got TD Jakes one hand already on the cross right now.
Okay.
They ready to put the next one on the cross right now.
My kind of gospel.
My God.
Politician says,
got them stretched from east to west right now.
When we win, we are going to pave the roads, and we are going to fix the lights, and we are going to fix the schools, and we are going to make sure that we wipe the tear from every eye. And the first tears they wipe is their own eye, because their tears are not your tears. Your tears are tears of sorrow. Their tears are tears of what, Howard Grant? Joy.
Now, let's just be
joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory.
So
when you talk about we, my issue today in listening to what you're saying is that it sounds good, but I've not seen much people who truly believe in the philosophy of we. There is no we. There's you and there's me. If you have and I have, then there's a we. If I have and you don't have, then there's you and then there's me. If you have and I do not have, then I need to sell you the idea that we can make this happen. And this happens all the time when tourists come to the Bahamas. They come with a briefcase with newspaper in it, and they say, you know what? I have a plan. They don't have no money. They don't have no assets. But we can do this together. And our Bahamas government says, you know what? I believe you.
Let's watch.
But the minute the Bahamian people say, I don't have no money, I want a loan for to start a business, a small business, what does the bank say to them? What does the government say to them?
There is
no we.
Now, watch me. Let's get back now. Let's deal with this.
Deal with it.
Miles Malarota, as the Ministry of Social Services,
yes.
Social Services,
yes.
Was given we, our taxes.
We.
Paying people.
We, our taxes.
Already.
We taxes. Yes.
That's the we we're talking about right
yes.
now.
Yes, yes.
We.
Yes.
Pay taxes.
Yes.
That feed these people, many of them who ain't poor.
So people like Bishop Lawrence Roll, people like Ms. Laura at Hilltop Ministries, these are the people that the social services actually hold partnerships with in order to feed masses of people. One is in Camp Road, one is on Wolf Road, doing a great job, by the way. Thank
and
you.
One on Wolf Road, one in Camp Road, one on 2nd Street de Grove, one on top of the Hillgrass, like you said.
Yes.
These places are all over the place.
Yes.
All right. So beyond
that's
that,
we.
Social services, this is the we that we're talking about.
Okay.
Social services.
Yes.
Mazarod in his capacity is going to carry on a tradition that's continuing to be able to feed people.
Yes.
The one thing that social services has done over the course of time is try to be able to retain Bahamian dignity into those persons who are going to the supermarket and didn't want to give them this sort of a check. If you remember when Melanie Griffith came out with this particular concept and indicated mm-hmm. that we wanted to do that, and then we saw they picked up this idea and started to talk about, okay, we won't give you credit cards now.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
Plastic, yes.
Okay. So this was only about retention of dignity. There's no dignity here no more. There's no dignity here. Okay? This sort of an idea of retaining dignity is because of where you exist in your life. So you're projecting, if I was them, I wouldn't want people to know that I was poor. These people have well gone past beyond that. So this concept and idea, while it may have been a good idea, they get the people credit card. These people, my God, let's just be very clear about this.
Okay.
They ain't got no bank account. They don't even know how to deal with these things. They out here swiping by GameStop to see if they can get one new phone. That's what they're doing. They're doing their best to be able to figure out how to be able to jimmy the system to work for themselves. Many of these people that are recipients of funds from the government are not poor. How do we rectify and identify those persons who are living under the poverty line and assist them to be able to get beyond?
Now, I like that word you just mentioned, Howard. I think that's profound. The word identify. Because what I'm hearing you say to me today is there has to be a management system.
That's what it is.
It has to be a system of stewardship.
You cannot just give people give. There's a hole in my bucket. There, Liza. There. This is relentless.
So we don't want to be insensitive, because I'll share with you this short story, Howard. When I was in Atlanta, Georgia, working for AirTran Airways, which is no longer functional. I think they're now Southwest Airlines. My mother became very ill. She had 7 tumors in her body. I was living in Buckhead at the time, and I used to run Buckhead with Ebron Smith. Me and E.B. used to run together, and E.B. could tell you my story. It's true. I sent my entire paycheck to my mother to home in order to help, you know, assist with expenses. I myself found myself giving up my accommodations in Lincoln Court. I gave that up. I gave up the 4 cars that I had. I was still working at the airline, so I actually lived in the airport, Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, Howard, for 3 months solid. That was my home.
Just like how
you lived in
Hong Kong?
In Hong Kong. So we have something in common, right?
Okay.
But I lived there for 3 months.
Okay.
And for the 3 months, I learned how to take care of myself hygienically, going to the bathroom and using the soap and washing your arm and using the dryer to dry your shirt after you took out the little black ring off your collar, etc. I was working, but I was broke. I had no money. I sent all my money home to my mother. And then one day...
You were working poor.
Working poor. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just trying to say that I know there are some people out there who are the working poor. I'm trying to identify them first. And I had to return home to the Bahamas with 10 cents in my pocket, a dime. I came home with a dime in my pocket. I literally was out, like, not a dollar in my pocket, literally. It was friends who were able to assist me to catch myself, two master's degrees, and not a dime in your pocket. And not until, thankfully, I got a job over at Atlantis selling timeshares that God blessed me and... You hit a big lick. Yeah, you show your tail off and you buy Mercedes and you buy BMW and you live good.
My God.
Yeah, you start living like...
You frame that 10 cents or you spend that?
Well, I'm just simply saying, to match what you're also saying, if you identify the type people that have this type potential...
That's it.
Then I can see you starting to climb out of that hole and become, once again, a part of society that's going to make contributions.
These people are depressed.
You go through a depression.
Okay, no doubt about it. So what you're dealing with
that's
socially
since
2020, with Hurricane Dorian, right? So you're dealing with a great deal of depression in our society, right? And here comes COVID-19. This is compressed depression. Now you have to go live with people.
Yes.
You leave in the independence and the solitude of a space that you've carved out for yourself. This is where therapy comes in.
Psychologically damaged.
This is psychological therapy.
Yes,
there are so many, including my young sister, Audrina Michelle Grant. Mm-hmm. There are so many young people in this country that have bachelor's degree in psychology.
And they don't use nothing.
They don't use it.
Dr. Helen Rose.
They don't use it at all.
She left the country because she said, you know, working with Dr. Allen and everything, she just couldn't.
The Department of Labor continues to be able to talk about this talent pool where these persons are identified, so forth and so on. There are people right now who...
Correct.
They wouldn't even get into this.
Correct.
There needs to be a space where you could identify what you have to work with. You can't continue to be able to go elsewhere and look all over the world for answers to how to be able to rectify an issue and then sit down around the table to try to figure out how to fix Haiti's issue. And your country's in this position. We can fix this locally.
So the member of parliament now, he's going from door to door. He needs votes from you. You vote for him or her. And now you're telling me that many of these people who are depressed, psychologically damaged, people who need assistance, they're going to now look at the member of parliament as a parent and expect for them to work miracles continuously to feed into
their
lack of energy. This is where you're going to fix it?
This is where you fix this, because this is the exact same thing that I said was the issue in my personal view with, and I know Shivago can say something about this, about the Jumpstart program and the Fresh Start program. Mm-hmm. There was no accountability. There was no social accountability. There was accountability and being able to ensure that you hit certain marks to be able to access the funds. But in terms of being able to spend that $5,000, that $2,000, so forth and so on, around the avenues after it's been spent, let's say you had to purchase, there's one point that you couldn't even, they wouldn't give you the money. They would identify you purchasing the product and they mm-hmm. would pay for the product for you. Now you have this product, mm-hmm. right? Now you have this item, whatever this is. For me, it was a bunch of, lawnmowers. So I got a bunch of lawnmowers. I got weed whackers. I got the whole thing. I opened up my company, right? And I did the whole thing like that. But the issue was is that when it came to me being able to deal with the funds, I didn't know at this point, I didn't know the accountability aspect. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't even be accountable to myself because I didn't understand. No one ever taught me about money. I had to figure this out for myself.
Wow.
No one teaches you about money.
That's correct. China teaches its people about money, though.
So what I'm saying to you is that if you exclude the accountability element, mm-hmm. because you're thinking, a lot of people think that when they create these programs, it's an ingenious program, we're going to inject this into the community, this is going to eradicate something or whatever this issue is that we're focused on, we're going to fix this like this. But not taking into account that people experiences aren't yours. These people never been off the school. Some of them never been out of their community. Some of them never been on the other side. I'm baffled when it came to Nassau. People say, well, how had I never been there? My God, you've been living here your whole life. Mm. You don't know that these things exist in Nassau. Some people don't come out of the confines of a 5-mile radius in their community.
That is true.
And so when you give them these opportunities and you don't associate and attach accountability to it, there is a formula of disaster. You cannot expect them to succeed. So you got a bunch of accountants all over the place who may not necessarily have a CPA, but matriculating through a process to be able to move towards that. You engage them from a voluntary basis, or you engage them in this particular position. You have to figure out a way to do this in society. And when you engage them, you create small spaces, almost like workshops, where persons could come in on a week-to-week basis and you teach them about finance. You create a space online that people don't have to ingest Netflix and ingest YouTube, but there is a space that we could go to learn about finance. So now, after you matriculate through this process, similar to what the SBDC is doing, but without having people confined to a classroom, without being able to, people could still have the dignity of their adulthood. Without having to be sick of things, because technology affords us an opportunity. And then you matriculate to a space that you could be able to do this. This could work in every subsector of our government.
You mentioned a
everyone. And this is why I keep saying to you, Garth, and I keep saying to the people that these members of parliament lack vision. They lack vision. If the only thing that you're waiting on is for leadership, which is your leadership and your political organization or governmental leadership to say to you, go and do this, then what the hell are you there for? That's the only question I have. What are you there for? What are you here for? You stand up and you give us, let's take Kingsley, because this is most, he's the most recent one. Let's say, we can fight him, but we just put it on the table. He came out with a concept of one love. That's it. That was it, right? For for West Grand Bahama and Bimini. One love. Let's do this one for Obi. Okay. So now he won. They gave him, I think, maybe 10 running points. And the prime minister superseded him in this particular capacity as both the candidate and potential member of parliament and made commitments to a constituency that he ain't even a part of. He didn't even make a... Listen. The prime minister superseded the member of parliament and made commitments to a constituency. And the prime minister has his own constituency. And the member of parliament now is sitting in the capacity and has to do what? Wait. Until the prime minister executes what he indicated. Because now my victory and the second dispensation of my victory is hinged on if the prime minister does what he has to do. My God, this is too heavy. But when you come with your own vision, and people buy into that, which ties into your vision of your political organization, then you find yourself in there for 40 years, like Perry Christie. Or you find yourself in there for 40 years, like Hubert Ingraham. Or you find yourself in there. You understand what I'm saying? These are the men and women who was fortified by their organization, but led with their own vision. Once you can do that, you're going to be good.
You mentioned the name Shivago Lang. I had the opportunity to meet him when he was in Parliament on Goodman's Bay. And I immediately just appreciated his humility, his candor. Shivago Lang was one of those people who I actually hoped would have continued in Bahamian politics, because he just had that persona for me that could actually help lift this country. And so when you look at people like himself, people like yourself, the other noted people presently, I get good reports with Pierre, Global Role in Carmichael and such members of parliament. It makes you feel good to know that it is possible that we can be on a very good trajectory and move this country forward. As to what that hindering factor is, like how you now have a plan for poverty or a plan to give a hand up and to eradicate. There's so much talent in the country. There's so much people full of purpose and potential. But the question really is this, Howard. Who is the true manager of the Bahamian people? Who says that these people can eat steak today and can eat chicken tomorrow? Who does that? Finance? Is it the Minister of Social Services? And by the time we go through all of the red tape, no one takes responsibility for poverty. But the minute there is a trophy to be given, everybody smiles for the camera, and they have something to say.
Well, we got to talk more about this, ladies and gentlemen. When we get back, you started to talk about some more specifics. Somebody keep texting me and indicating, how would you describing the RISE program?
Right? RISE.
Yeah, how would you describe the RISE program? It's based upon accountability. People meet with social workers to mentor their progress. I've also been a part of an organization that used another software program to do the exact same thing.
Is it expensive? Or
no, this is technology. All this is software.
All this technology?
This is just software.
Trained personnel?
This is just software that you could just it's instructional software.
And you can probably use for these apps on the phone and other people can just buy.
That's all this is. Once you download it, you could be able to execute it, right?
Wow.
And so they could monitor purchases on the card and block certain businesses from being patronized. This is some information. We're going to dive deeper into these particular things as we step into 2024 with clarity and understanding. Let's do so. And let's talk about vision when we get back. When we get back, I want to talk more specifically about vision. And maybe I give you some insight of what I've heard about South Beach. The member of parliament for South Beach, or maybe,
the member of parliament for Golden Isles,
or maybe the member of parliament for Pinewood.
To the ball, you know, Miss Butterfield, full vision captain of age. She gave me two tickets to Bathurst Rose function, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. Enjoy those particular things, guys. let's talk about vision.
Let's talk about vision.
I'm not gonna fight you, my brother. Let's talk about vision. Let's talk about this sort of a concept to be able to get out of the confines of tradition and step into the true purpose that you've been called for. Quick commercial break. Be right back after this.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
You've tried everything. ASUS, with your mother's cousin's sister's auntie, and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to Deposit Insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bs.
Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
The Nassau Cruise Port presents Phil Stubbs Live at the all-new Nassau Cruise Port Amphitheater.
January 13th.
Gates open at 7 p.m., showtime 9 p.m.
Book your tickets now at BahamasETickets.com.
General admission $50, 70
cents off with one of the Bahamas' beloved artists. You're raking and scraping with Ira Storr, Nishi LS, and Phil Stubbs Live.
Brought to you by the Nassau Cruise Port. It's not just a concert, it's a night to remember.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255. 267.
Champ, baby girl, cable guy is here.
Since the very beginning, you have been with us.
This is called, and this is called the internet.
Okay. All right, so for over two decades, we've been with you every step of the way.
Lena Weibo is total class. Look at her go. She's in front.
I follow me. I'm
so yeah, times may have changed, and so have your needs as our valued customers. But some connections stand the test of time. Red, we're with you.
Towards the heights of the season, Scotiabank wanted to give the people a lift for mom, dad, and kids. Apply for a Scotiaplan loan and unwrap the perfect Christmas gift. Fix your home, buy new appliances, or go on vacation. Scotiabank is giving holiday cheer with an all-expense-paid weekend trip for two to Miami for 3 days and two nights when you apply for a Scotiaplan loan from now until December 31st. Enjoy low interest rates and no payments for up to 2 months. Unwrap the perfect Christmas with Scotiabank.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Happy holidays from Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a beautiful and wonderful Christmas.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, last show of the year. I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to tune in with us. Can I read this? I just want to be able to read this for all those persons who didn't have an opportunity to be able to tap into the group. If you're not a part of my group, 827-0111, 827-0111, I just want to be able to do this. I sent this out yesterday, and I would like to extend it to everyone. Merry Christmas, Happy Boxing Day, and a most precious, healthy, and happy New Year to you and yours, for me and mine. This journey on the foundation that began as a talk show on Guardian Radio has evolved and expanded beyond my wildest dreams. To see the unwavering support from all facets of our community, the feedback, the lives that were touched, that we've touched together, and the impact that we've made is truly, truly overwhelming. I would like to thank all those that participate in their own way that makes the foundation with Howard Grant the success that it is. Our listening audience, our radio sponsors, our community sponsors, our volunteers, and our many call-in guests are Texas. And let's not forget those that scream at their radios relentlessly in total and utter disagreement. I thank you. It takes an assortment of ideas, passions, characters, and personalities to purposefully put the puzzle of unity back into our community. I pray that the Father Almighty continues to watch over and bless you and yours as we, the collective, move forward, upward, onward, and together from glory to glory in this, our year of Jubilee, and far beyond. Happy holidays. And God bless. Something that I wanted to be able to send out to all those persons to let you know that you're in my heart. And I want to thank you for allowing me this kind of a space to be able to talk to you and talk with you. Not necessarily talk at you in a condescending manner, but in this sort of a collective approach to be able to rectify some of the issues that have been ailing our society for a very long time. I thank you for the opportunity and I thank you. And I really do honestly and truly pray as he bless me, me and mine, as we move forward into 2024 and beyond. So guys, I want to be able to say that to you as we kind of wrap up the show today and be able to do these things. I'm grateful to that. I'm grateful to all my guests who sat with me, right? All these particular persons that continue to be able to give. If you're even one of those persons who've considered giving, those persons who've given, we've touched so many lives. It's amazing. We've been able to do some great things this year. Next year, I look forward to even more. I have, did I tell you this? Did I tell you this, Garth? I signed my lease. I got the place.
Oh, yeah, you told me.
I told you. I signed the lease. I got the place. And so now we got to put a little roof on it. We got the place for 5 years. We got to put a roof on it, paint up the building. We're going to put our studio in there, and it's going to be a place that you can be able to drop off. So if you are in the position that you need to be able to get assistance, this is going to be the place. So it's going to be a hub. We're going to make everything kind of laid out. And so I can be, if I reach out to you and your organization for assistance, just know that it's going to a good place to be able to make that happen. Let me go on the line. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yes. Hey, Howard.
Hey.
How you doing, C. Allen Johnson?
Hey, what's up, C. Allen?
Yeah, just want to touch on the fact that, you know, we're in two eras, right? You know, we now just move, and you talk about ending poverty. And if you go back to the Millennium Development Goals, from 2000, then they, was it 2000? Yes, from 2000 to 2015, where they named the newest technologies as the tools to eliminate poverty. Then you came with the Sustainable Development Goals in 2016 to 2030, which they restated the same. We are in our beginning our third decade into the newest revolution, what they call innovation revolution. And so the beauty about it is, you know, when you look, now it's 2020 that happened, but when you look at the first wave, it was like water, textiles, iron. Second wave was the steam engine. Third wave was the electricity and our chemicals, internal combustion engine. Fourth wave was the petrochemicals and aviation. Then the fifth wave, which was 1990, was the digital network, software, and new media. Now we're in the age of AI, IoT, fintech, clean energy, robots, drones, and everything else. The biggest problem that I've encountered in my two-plus decades of being home is that you have individuals who can seen knowledge concerning these new technological innovation cycles, but we have not had anybody that actually can execute it. Now, the beauty about leadership is not the ability to do things themselves, because if you look at the Fortune 1000 companies, the CEOs and the boards are not the one executing. They have the ability to bring individuals around them to buy the expertise to execute. But somehow we seem to always buy technology to authenticate our disassociation with the reality of where we are from a global sphere. And so when you talk about ending poverty, embracing the new technological innovations, where fintech opens the marketplace to Bahamians across the Bahamas and do things that which were not ordinary for our parents and even for myself in my disposition, is just tremendous opportunities for us to realize the economy. And this, you know, and so, and I know, let me just insert a little political here. The first time that we sought an opportunity to accomplish this was the Bridge to the Future. Go back and read that blueprint that actually the second decade. Now we have the blueprint for change in the beginning of the third decade. Question one have to ask. In 2 years or whatever amount of time, you talk, the Prime Minister mentioned in your newscast, the orange economy and these things. Where is the ecosystem? Where is the infrastructure strategy? Where is the execution of these things that is necessary beyond the talk? And that's what we have to be able to find leadership going forward on, who can actually define, integrate, and guide us into the new future.
Now, go ahead with your shameless plug. Let me hear this. Wrap it up with your shameless plug. Let me hear it.
My shameless plug is that I am associating myself with a team of individuals that I believe that has not just the capability, because you could argue that this government now has the capability, who is willing to bring together people who has the ability beyond their knowledge to execute it. And so, again, like I say, there's nothing stops right now for this administration to stop the talk and to actually do it. Nothing.
I appreciate
it. So the question is, if they don't, in 3 years, we're going to have an administration that is willing to do it, not promise that we'll do it the next time for it. Remember that story again? Remember the next time for the poor?
Next time for the poor.
Yeah. Okay. So we're saying...
So you're saying Michael Pintar... I'm waiting on you to articulate this very clearly. Michael Pintard.
Yes.
Okay.
Michael Pintard has the competence, ability, and wherewithal to transform the economy. That's not happened since 1973.
Thank you, my brother.
Because we are in a new digital era. And so here's what they do, coward. Just like how I speak on behalf of them, and you have the PLP speaking on people who speak on behalf of the PLP and people who speak on behalf of the Coalition of Independent and the silence to each team, to challenge each other. Unless, because remember, how it benefits, if you allow equitable challenges to the PLP and they execute it, then the argument becomes who's better equipped to further expand on it as opposed to having it done. And that's the conversation I look for.
Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate you. Thank you so very kindly for that. Somebody texted and say, Howard, I was wondering when C. Allen would call and how many times he would say the name Pintard. I think he only did it once. Don't fight him. It's Christmas time, right? It's the holiday time.
Okay, so here's where I get lost in that conversation, and I know C. Allen is listening. And the average Bahamian who thinks like I do, if you really believe that he can do, as you said, he can do in terms of the economy, what prevented him from becoming significant as the Minister of Agriculture as he sat in the cabinet of Hubert Alexander Minnis? Where is the golden cord or the feather in his cap for any accomplishment in agriculture during his tenure? He is a Grand Bahamian. He knows Grand Bahama. I know the people of Grand Bahama respect and love him. So if you can lift the economy of the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas, what have you done to lift the economy of Grand Bahama since 1973? We say these things, and we say these things with a ray of hope that someone will be able to do it. And we put our confidence in human beings that we feel may have the potential to do it. But we look at the resume, and the resume shows us no sign that it will be done by such people. We have put people in the House of Parliament with the belief that because they wear the right color shirt and they belong to the right party, that they will be able to lift, as Howard is now saying, communities from poverty into a commonwealth. It has not happened. I grew up in Bamboo Town. Bamboo Town, during the time of Tennyson Wells, I remember being on the streets and everyone happy, the little turkey, the little ham during Christmas. You know, we got street lights and the road was paved. We got speed bumps and churches were moving in. New neighbors were moving in. But look at Bamboo Town now, man. We are now falling along the wayside. Look at South Beach. Have you ever driven through South Beach and see how many dilapidated homes, homes that were once measurable and homes that were once elegant and grand, have now fallen apart? Holes in the roof, shingles are missing, no paint on the walls.
I want to challenge you.
You know, I'm seeing pot cakes running wild all through the streets. Challenge me, Howard Grant.
I would like to challenge you.
Bring your West Grand Bahama challenge and tell me what West End Grand Bahama has done since 1973. Let me hear you.
Now,
I'm challenging you,
man. In the 90s, when was the height of growth and development
of the
country?
Nothing to do with the government.
Right? No. The community thrived.
Why?
Because of the people.
An opportunity
that existed. Nothing to do with the FNM.
We had an opportunity that existed that the world did not want to recognize. That's what happened in the 90s. I was alive. I saw it with my own two eyes.
What do you mean?
Oh, we had some grand days during the 80s going into the 90s, man. Some people had some money, man.
Of course.
Money was all over the street, but I had nothing to do with the government.
This is what I'm trying to explain to you now.
Well, tell me that.
When you start to talk about what was happening in Bamboo Town, it wasn't because of the golden hand and the golden goose that was shaved off regularly from Tennyson Wells. It was because of the people that existed in that community that had no dependency on an individual. The individual who had management skills to say, I'd like you to be able to pave this road, I'd like you to do that, I'd like you to be able to do that, which enhanced the community. Now, in retrospect, you look back and you won't be able to levy all of that on one individual. But the truth of the matter is that it was your mother then. It was people in the community who took care of the community itself.
I'm not going to fight you on that. But what I'm saying to you is that in all of that blessing that you just spoke about, the member of parliament was there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
He showed up and he made a contribution.
Yeah, but I'm saying to you, whilst Tennyson Wells, God bless his soul.
He's a leader. Was he not a leader?
Yes, yes.
And so based on the energy that a leader gives off, based on the vibrations that a leader gives off, whatever is in your hand, like how the Bible says, he asked Moses, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, use that.
Okay.
We were able to use what was in our hand because the people that we looked and emulated were also people who were progressive.
Leadership's responsibility, in my view, is to be able to tap the potential. Whether that's a community, whether that's of an organization, all they have to do is tap the potential. And the community itself, the organization, should move with kinetic progression to be able to get to where they're supposed to do. All Tennyson Wells did was tap the potential that existed in a community by being able to fix the road that made your grandmother or your mother say, let me paint the house, let me do these things. All they did was nudge. Leadership can't do everything for you.
So who nudged West Grand Bahama and who nudged the Magic City, man? Because all I heard was a good thing with the Magic City and y'all had cable.
You know who nudged it?
Y'all stations from the United States.
Edwardson George and Jack Haywood.
And then, you know, all your light-skinned brothers
showed up. Edwardson George and Jack Haywood.
Oh, they did it.
They were the nudge. They were the proverbial potential nudgers. They nudged the potential and saw the kinetic movement of the community. That's what happened.
So when was the last
time it was a prestigious thing to work for them.
When was the last time we got a nudge then? Let me hear this.
They haven't nudged since these men dead. They died and gone. And the nudge has gone with them.
What about the nudge in New Providence? Give me the last time you had a nudge.
Cocaine was the nudge.
Not Bahama, not Atlantis?
No. Of course not.
No nudge?
No. Atlantis was during an era where cocaine was still prevalent. And drugs were still prevalent. So money was still in the city. And pride, the Bahamian pride that existed here, that still was rich after 1973, that led to the development of what we had in the community.
So where's the pride now?
After 2004, after 2008, that's gone.
Where's the pride?
That's been eradicated. The pride is wrapped up. People identify their strength in finances. And if they can't see themselves financially stable, then they become depressed and say, hey, listen, I guess I can't do it. I don't have the money. Every one of us have that issues. Let's take the telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Howard, can I give me a few minutes? Let me speak on the economy. No political. This is for the economy because people use this agma drugs and guns and whatever, right? Ask yourself, what was the GDP of the Bahamas?
See,
at the time?
I got the lines lit up. No,
I just want to show you a point that we have to add depth to our conversation.
Okay, go ahead.
We have to stop talking about this ourselves, about drugs drove this economy. What was the GDP at that time? $8 billion, $9 billion, $10 billion? There was no $9 billion worth of drugs running through this country that came into this economy for the GDP. That drug running and ever running and dish running, whatever. It's like downing ourselves. But when you look at the economy, you had a dozen maybe drug dealers. The day run an $8 billion economy?
See, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong.
No, the community. The numbers don't
immeasurable.
Lie.
Immeasurable.
No,
listen, in the community,
GDP is the numbers on the ground.
Okay.
GDP is the numbers on the ground. There was no $8 billion contributing to the GDP of the Bahamas.
Every one of us who are 40 years and older have lived this era.
Know about the influence of it, but it did not generate the GDP, Howard.
We're not talking about the generation of the GDP. We're talking about the movement of a community. We're talking about the progression that existed in the community.
Howard, the $8 billion GDP contributed to the growth of the country. The drug money did not. It may have had some influence on some lifestyle and stuff.
So what do you say about the development of what happened in Miami? The development
again,
of Miami itself.
It wasn't no billion. See, again, let's not put emotions in it.
This ain't emotional. I'm asking you.
No, I'm saying to you, look at the economy of Miami, right? And then look at the volume of drugs that you would say would have to grow to this economy. See, you could say these had an impact just like tourism did, or just like maybe technology would and everything else. But it does not contribute to 90% of the GDP that was there. A small part of it may have contributed. But when you look at the full picture, Howard, $8 billion is what went into the pockets of the behemoth people to run the economy.
When was the last time? Help us out then, because I asked Howard a question. When was the last time we had a nudge in New Providence?
See, that's during the FNM era when they brought in the Bahama a piece of it. But hold on a second, though.
From 92 to 97. From 1992, but that was also the introduction of what you started to talk about as the innovation or the information era, when we started to be able to see the internet, so forth and so on. This was global movement. But you cannot seek to be able to eradicate the material.
You should stay over into the 2 o'clock hour and speak to Mr. Lang concerning the way the economy works. Because I keep hearing these things repeated, right? And these antidotes, I'm a data person, right? I know when the World Wide Web came around in 92 that spurred the economic growth, and that did not impact the Bahamas except for the money inflowing in investments into the Bahamas, right? But as for our revolutionization of the economy, it did not.
It was a social and economic concoction that led to progression during this time. There was a change that was happening. You can't identify it in one way or another. You cannot say that. I understand that you as a data man, I'm not going to fight you for that. I'm not going to fight you for that. But you're not going to take away the fact that I grew up in the 90s in 8 Mile Rock. I grew up watching these fellas buds them, and all these fellas had 98 chains on them.
I can't even talk. Can't even read.
I grew up during this time. And that influenced men. That influenced people. That influenced the community. That money moved in the community. That money moved when they said, let's give this to Grammy them. And Grammy them was able to be able to do this and do that and do the other thing. Give this to Mama down the road. You're not going to tell me that my community didn't move based upon what was happening in these particular spaces. I just want to be very clear about this. I'm not eradicating those things, but there was a social concoction that led to progression that did not lean with dependency on the government. Why? You didn't even have the strength to lean on the government. This is a brand new government in 1992.
We had some community heroes during that time that took care of all of the needs of their community, and everybody knew that. We knew those people. We knew who to go to, who would give you what you need, what you wanted. Those were the days. Those were the days.
Yeah, but you know, see, everybody has their own particular path, and I don't believe that there's no social oracle that you have to be able to go to and just grovel at their feet and ask them these particular questions. Well, look, we are responsible for identifying a collective conversation.
I respect the mind of C. Allen Johnson. He's one of the sons of the soil that has elevated himself to that point of a thinker and a philosopher, and I appreciate that. But the other side of that, for me, being a preacher, is to understand that, you know what? We tired of hearing about your streets of gold and your pearly gates and your tree of life and everything else, but you taking all the money, though. Where ours? Where this, when you sow a seed, you can be blessed bountifully. Like when you grow a mango tree, I mean, you get a mango seed, you grow a mango tree, eh? When you do a cherry seed, you get a cherry tree, eh? When you plant a banana sucker, you get a banana tree and bunches of banana. So when I give you my dollar, where's my thousand? When I give you my support, where's my love? This is what builds nations. This is what builds a strong community. We're not seeing that here in this Bahamas. So I asked the question again. He said a particular leader is going to be the one to revamp and improve the economic system and structure and the benefits of the Bahamas. And I said, when was the last time we got such a nudge? And what makes you believe that this one is the golden child, the golden one to bring this nudge to the Bahamas? We've heard it before, and we've never seen the evidence of it, not in my lifetime.
Well, I only want to be able to end it off like this. Before we step into 2024, this needs to be a community commitment to unity and a very clear understanding that if there is no vision, the people perish.
They have to.
If there's no vision.
If you're not going to look out for your neighbor, you don't have a community.
If there's no vision, if we do not have a collective vision for growth and development in this country, if we ourselves don't believe that we could eradicate this small issue, see, you're so consumed. With this kind of idea that there's a lot of people. This is only a handful of people and lack of organization in our community. That's all this is.
I'm going to give a 30-second story,
Howard. Give me a 30-second story. Go ahead.
There is a Creole individual, Haitian individual, came to the Bahamas, no papers, whatever. You know, finally got his permit, got straight, whatever. But I invested a lot of money with this gentleman. The other day, I had to put an Amwa on top of my car, you know, the television thing on top of the car. And I wanted to take it from Porky's gas station into Pinewood Gardens. I saw him in his truck. This is a man I poured love into. I've given money to. I've helped him, his wife, his family, given him jobs, given him Kentucky Fried Chicken, la, 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 la. I said to him, man, could you take this off of my car for me? Put it on your truck. And just take it 3 blocks down for me, please. You know what he said to me? But I don't have no gas. Now, I'm supposed to be an idiot. So I leaned over on the driver's side and looked at the gas gauge. What do you think I saw, Howard?
Full.
See, and then you won't come talk with we and community and loving your brother and help. Man, listen.
Oh, and that's what he learned.
After you experience that you know what that, you know how that makes you feel? That the next person that asks you for help, carry their tail.
No.
Carry it. I'm saying how you feel, how that. See, I don't talk about emotions, but that thing bothers you psychologically.
Yeah.
Because all that you have done to build, all of a sudden the fellas can throw this mess in your face.
You know, I got truck.
Huh?
You go. I can help you. That ain't no problem.
Yeah, but you know, it's one of those spur of the moment things. What I just simply saying, you know. But we have to do better, Howard, is what I'm saying to you.
Yeah.
Stop telling lies.
When we step into 2024, ladies and gentlemen, with clarity, as we step over in these last few minutes of the show, I want to be able to have a very clear conversation. I believe in our ability to be able to eradicate a few things. I believe that we need social accountability and technology to be able to incorporate, that we can get to a place of true progression and growth. I believe that this must be accompanied by vision, and I believe that we can do all these things. I want to be able to say to progressive leadership, to potential leadership, to the leadership that exists in this country right now, in public and private sector, you have a mammoth task on your hand.
Yes, you do.
You have a mammoth task on your hand.
Extremely.
And the truth of the matter is that in the year of our Jubilee, we have become ultra, super sensitive to your inability and watching everything that you've done or haven't done to be able to make our determination as to whether or not you are the cause. This is our time for freedom.
Wow.
This is our time for liberation. This is our time for access, and we need to have the right people at the helm.
If we're going
to
advance.
If we are going to move forward as a community, we need the right people at the helm.
That is correct.
We continue to be able to pray for you. This is not condemnation. This is not being able to speak condescendingly to you and being able to say anything negative. We hope nothing but the best. Take this as constructive criticism. We don't seek to destroy you.
Stand up, step forth.
Let's make some things happen, ladies and gentlemen, in this beautiful, beautiful year. I pray that the Father continues to be able to watch over you, blesses you, keeps you, and be able to have you move from glory to glory and make some wonderful things happen. I thank you for tuning into The Foundation here with Howard Grant on Guardian Radio 96.9. Garth, my brother, I pray that the Father continues to be able to watch over you and yours and make some things happen in the year 2024 and beyond. We got some great plans, ladies and gentlemen. Big plans. We want you to be able to be a part of it as we eradicate some of the social ills that has continued to be a nag, a nuisance, a nuisance around our necks. Let's do it together, guys. Guys, have a beautiful day. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant. Happy New Year. We're going to see you in January. God spare our lives right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We'll be right back.